Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hi, and welcome once again to History Dweebs. I am Tim, and the topic of our podcast today is jumpers, the history of suicide and the Golden Gate Bridge. So we're going to talk about some of the people who have jumped from the Golden Gate Bridge in San Francisco. There's been 1,700 of them since the bridge opened back in the 1930s.
We're not talking about them all, though.
No, we can't cover them all in one podcast, but we'll kind of hit the highlights of them.
Excellent.
Before we do that, though, let me introduce my panel. I am joined, as always, by the Empress of Evil, the Mistress of the Macabre, the Satan's Dirty Little Secret, Brandy. How are you today, Brandy?
I'm better today, Tim. How are you?
Fine. Were you better? Did you have a bad weekend?
I bought some more Pop-Tarts.
Oh, good.
Well, no, we had prom this weekend, so I had to deal with all that mess of whatever.
Like family issues?
Well, just prom stuff.
Oh, prom.
Prom.
He's a prom.
And then I got to spend...
Your boy looked quite handsome.
He did.
And his date was very pretty.
He did look handsome. His date was very pretty. And I got to deal with Sweet D all weekend, which was very exciting.
Did he get to second base?
Gross.
I'm just asking.
I'm gross.
Because I know the colonel was wondering that.
I'm grossed out by that.
Well, we all know... Timmy, you and I know what we was doing on our prom night.
And
we're not implying
it. I was home, but yeah.
We're just buying dinner.
It's a little more. I think it's a little more structured now than it was when we went to school. They had after prom and all that kind of stuff, where they basically go on lockdown until 4 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, so after prom is when
they got breathalyzers and everything.
Yeah,
after prom is when you got drunk and you got laid.
Yeah,
get a hotel room, you take it back, do misdemeanor.
Well, they don't do that anymore. They don't do that.
That's why I no longer go to proms.
Well, that and the dirty old man factor that we got.
It's illegal. I forget about that.
Some of your girlfriends will be,
careful.
Still having their problems.
Be careful. Okay.
Seniors can be 18.
So let me also introduce.
They can't. 19.
Let me also introduce the person who's talking, and who shouldn't be talking yet because they're not officially here. But I would love to introduce a man of great honor and distinction, man who's very debonair. Who's a friend of to the ladies. The very honorable.
What?
He's also the face of erectile dysfunction and the bloody stool. And
so he stays in the friend zone with the ladies.
I dropped
the
bloody stool, but the lady gave me the psoriasis.
Oh, that's right. You have psoriasis now. Heartache of psoriasis now, don't you?
I'm in the face of psoriasis. We're having a psoriasis fundraiser. So
a telethon, I know.
A telethon, yeah.
I'm very excited.
Oh,
I will watch it and pledge $5.
You're doing good. You're doing good.
We're
God's
doing
work.
A telethon to do research on Timmy's his masturbatory problem.
I will donate $5 to that as well.
Yeah.
You know, the colonel, that's what I like about you. You know, he's like the old man planting a tree whose shade he'll never sit in.
Exactly.
So, Colonel, anything going on with you besides your charity work?
Oh, my dumbass son wrecked his car again, so, you know, I'm dealing with that. The wife is crazy. Let me see. There's plenty of things. I bought the devil some Pop-Tarts. Forgot to bring them.
There you go.
And
well, that was a nice gesture. Anyway.
The devil and I got a situation here, Timmy.
Okay.
You're going onto our page and actively recruiting people
for Team Timmy. I have some very, very nice, intelligent, strong-willed independent women who's joined Team Timmy?
Well, first of all, you misogynist bastard. You're not invited one man to be on his team.
I am heterosexual. I confess.
Well, I'll take men on my team. I mean, it doesn't matter. But
that's up to you, Colonel. I accept your lifestyle.
He's equal opportunity.
I'm equal opportunity. And have we really reached the point where we're just openly begging?
Pandering.
Pandering.
I think so. Let me tell you,
I just want to let you know that when you was throwing all those names out and tagging people,
yeah,
and I'm going to give her a shout out right here. Little backdoor buttercup Brittany,
mm-hmm.
You left her off, Timmy.
Well, because I knew she was on Team Brandy.
Here's the thing. I don't have to recruit. We're like silent ninja assassins. You know, you join our ranks and, you know, we quietly will come in and slit your throat.
Yes.
And I'm okay with that. Well, so you recruit all you want.
Well,
I could have double agents going on. You don't know.
Three kingdoms. And Colonel has a kingdom of him and Scott.
I've got a few now. Allie, don't forget, Allie's
who's the king's hand.
Allie has stood behind the Colonel, and she's crazy as hell.
I think her quote was something like, I'm not even getting into any of this.
No, I believe if you go back, she committed to Team Colonel. Yeah. And everybody knows, of all of our listeners, Allie's by far the most dangerous.
She's a little dangerous.
She's not a little dangerous. Your alligators are a little dangerous, Timmy. She rises danger to a whole new level.
Which really means she should be on my team.
Okay. So I want to give a shout out to Team Timmy. All the beautiful ladies of Team Timmy. Timmy's angels, I call them. Colonel, do you have any shout outs that you would
like? I got some shout outs. I got, of course, Tricia Hillard.
Mm-hmm.
Just became Facebook friends with her. She's a local listener. One of our few local listeners.
Yeah, we don't have a lot of local listeners.
We don't have a lot of local listeners.
You know, they say that you can't be appreciated in your own time. I think we're not appreciated in our own area.
Well, I'm not.
Or maybe we're not appreciated at all.
Here's the thing. I can never tell if people are laughing with us or at us.
I think, yeah.
At you or us.
Just
there's
in
a
general.
Big difference there.
Yeah.
And, of course,
Brittany.
Chris and Brittany are just like a pair. You know, they're just...
Yeah. That's probably why they're together.
They're just a wonderful little couple. And,
yeah, they are.
Young and crazy as hell. So it's nice to see that.
Young and in love.
Young and in love and just batshit crazy.
Get over that soon.
Chris ain't batshit crazy. Brittany batshit crazy. Lady Beverly, of course... She's another dedicated Met team member, and we're working on an arranged marriage right now. She's got a daughter, Alexandra, that is just the girl's like circus smart. She just off the charts smart. So she's gonna be picking what college she goes to, and she may be even going to the Vatican. They may create a special college just for this girl.
Really?
So, and of course, who has always been on Team Colonel from day one.
Scott.
The lovely and wonderful, and Scott, of course, who stands by the Colonel no matter what.
Today, Buford, get through this stuff.
Yeah. And the lovely and incomparable Dottie Scott.
And I would like to give a shout out to Mary Ray's daughters. Mary Ray said her daughters did not believe that she got a shout out in the podcast. So not only are we going to give a shout out to Mary Ray, but we're going to give a shout out to her daughters, Sammy and Amanda. So thank you for listening.
Well, hello, girls.
Yes.
Nice to know you're listening.
Yes. So this is a good podcast for you to listen to because we're going to talk about suicide. Nothing more chipper than this topic.
Right.
You know, there's... The thing about this is there's no bad guy in this one.
Yeah.
Just a bunch of dumbasses.
Well, yeah. It's Well, we'll find a way to find humor in it, I'm sure.
No, I mean, if you're going to kill yourself, jumping off a bridge. Because I'm the Colonel. I have two fears in this world, Tim.
Mm-hmm.
Heights and snakes. And bridges fall under my heights fear. Mm-hmm. So why would
you would really hate to fall into a pit of snakes
from a great distance?
Yes. From a great distance up, I would hate that. Allie could probably arrange that. Luckily, she's on my team. But anyway, when you think about the ways to go, but then, you know, you think all the people that jump, what are about 95%? And, well, and this is a true statistic. People that shoot themselves, only 75% of them killing themselves.
Yeah, but if you get it wrong, it's well, you're gonna. We'll talk about it later.
Yeah, but I mean, it's a pretty high percentage rate.
But it's also a very bad way to go.
Quick statistic, little factual knowledge here.
Come on, Cliff.
What is the most lethal form of suicide? If you're gonna do it and you want to make sure you don't survive it,
slit your own throat.
No.
Poison.
No.
Listen to this podcast over and over again.
Yeah. Jam a knife in your
head. No, that makes you want to do it. But
okay.
You stand in front of a train.
Yeah. Well, that which we'll talk about. Because
you can lie down in front of a train.
That's
too.
We're talking. I'm going to mention a few different suicide sites in the world, and one of them is the London Underground, and it's grown in popularity. Actually, they get about 100 a year. People jumping in front of trains.
And we should make light of this because we covered in our thing. So many of our listeners have mental disorders.
So many of our podcasters do, too.
Well, and the podcasters all do. Every one of us has got something wrong with us. So suicide is something that you, many of our listeners, have a familiarity with. And you can only laugh at it.
Yeah.
Because if you don't laugh at it, then it
becomes
a thing.
Don't kill yourself after listening. You may want to kill yourself after listening to this podcast, like you do any podcast that we do.
Listen to the Sultana podcast, because I make you kill yourself.
All right, let's talk about the Golden Gate Bridge, shall we? First of all, I want to give a source. I know we never give sources here for our research because, you know, we like to keep our sources secret. But there are two very good resources that we use for this podcast. One is called a book that's called The Final Leap. It's by John Bateson, Bateson. And it gives a lot of detail and stories of folks who have perished jumping off the Golden Gate Bridge. As I said, there have been 1,700 of them since the bridge opened. That we know of. A lot of folks have been carried out to sea that we never, you know, they didn't add up, they didn't end up in that count. But anyway, The Final Leap. And then there's a documentary that some of you probably saw back in 2006 called The Bridge. It's available on YouTube. Did you see that, Colonel?
Over the River Kwai?
No, The Bridge.
Yes, that one.
They put a camera on the Golden Gate Bridge and filmed it over a year. And it's you know, if things like, you know, if suicide bothers you or whatever, you don't want to watch this video, this documentary, because it's pretty graphic. But
is it on Netflix?
It's on YouTube, actually. It might be on Netflix, too. It's called The Bridge.
YouTube, The Bridge.
The Bridge from 2006. Okay, so the Golden Gate Bridge is considered a suicide bridge. And a suicide bridge is one that's used frequently by people to die by suicide, most typically by jumping off of it and falling into the water. The Golden Gate Bridge actually is the number two suicide bridge in the world. It's number one in the United States, but there's actually a bridge on the Yangtze River in China that has had 2,000 deaths since it opened in 1968. So despite the fact that it's been open for a shorter period of time, it has more suicide. But the Golden Gate Bridge is the number one suicide destination in the U.S.
And there's so many Chinese, I'd say per capita, the Golden Gate Bridge wins.
Good point.
Well, how the one here going in from Cincinnati, Kentucky, is it up there? I'm not even sure.
That one up by your house up at Wilmington?
Jeremiah Morrow.
That's the scariest sumbitching bridge I've ever been on.
Crazy up there. Yeah.
Don't go over water. It goes over land.
I can't believe more people don't kill themselves trying to get out of Cincinnati.
There are other suicide. I mean, you can kind of go on the internet and you get a whole list of where your location is the most popular suicide place. I mentioned the London Underground, people jumping in front of trains. Prince Edward Viaduct in Toronto, it sees about 100 people a year jumping from that. So there's a lot of these locations, but the Golden Gate Bridge has a particular. A lot of places that were in over time that have been suicide places of people who commit suicide have put up barriers, like Empire State Building and the Eiffel Tower. But the Golden Gate, San Francisco has been reluctant to put up barriers. You're going to talk about that a little bit later.
Well, it's hard to build. And if I were president, Timmy, I'd build a wall.
Yeah, a wall around the Golden Gate Bridge.
A wall around the
Golden Gate. If you've never been to San Francisco, you've never been to Golden Gate Bridge, it's I think part of the appeal is it's just so majestic. It's very beautiful there. And I go to San Francisco, try to usually go there once a summer. Just really, it's just a very beautiful area. So I can see kind of the appeal. But when we get to talking about what actually happens, that's the fantasy and the reality of how gruesome the deaths are. It's a different thing. When the jumpers jump off the Golden Gate Bridge, their body hits the water at 80 miles per hour. So it's about like jumping in front of a truck. So between 1937 and 2015, as I said, there were estimated 1,700 bodies have been recovered from people who've jumped from the Golden Gate Bridge. But the true number is unknown because a lot of jumpers have jumped and their body simply has been carried out to sea. So unless there's someone there to see them when they jump or the body washes up to shore, they're not included in the official count. The impact kills 98% of the people who jump. So that's what you're talking
98%?
About. 98%?
That's pretty damn high.
Pretty good. But, you know, unless you're one of those 2%, I don't know. So anyway, a little bit about a Golden Gate. I'm going to talk a little bit about the bridge itself, and then Brandy's going to talk about some of the people who've died on the bridge.
Another person just jumped.
Every time the bell rings.
Every time
the bell rings. And then the colonel is going to talk about the impact of jumping off the bridge. So the Golden Gate Strait is the entrance into San Francisco Bay from the Pacific Ocean. It's approximately 3 miles long and 1 mile wide. And there was, you know, since before the bridge was built, there was always a ferries that worked, and there's still ferries out there, but the folks of San Francisco wanted to build a bridge to connect San Francisco to the other side of the bay. So in 1933, January 5th, the construction began on the Golden Gate Bridge. It was a cost to them of $35 million, and it was completed on ahead of schedule and under budget. Now, how about that, Colonel? That's good for government.
Came in under budget, yeah.
It took 4 years to build. They started in 1933, and it was completed in 1937. Now, here's some information for you, Colonel, a little local trivia. The chief engineer and head of the Golden Gate Bridge was a guy by the name of Joseph Strauss. He was chief engineer. He headed up the project. And do you know where he went to school, Colonel?
Where I went to school?
Winton Hills.
I'm going to say University of Cincinnati.
Our alma mater, the University of Cincinnati. Go UC. And he placed a brick from McMicken Hall on the bridge when he built it. So there's a build. So for those of you from University of Cincinnati, that means something. For the rest of you, you probably don't care. When he built the bridge, Strauss used a new innovation of a safety net underneath the construction site to protect the workers who, you know, the iron workers who were out working on the bridge. And it did a pretty good job, but they did have some fatalities during the building of the bridge. 12 people died. The first person who died was Kermit. His first name was Kermit.
That's
not funny, I know. October 21st, 1936, Kermit Moore fell to his death while working on a bridge. And he was the only one that died until they had a terrible accident on February 17, 1937. 10 men died all at once in a single day when a section of the scaffolding fell. And the men fell through the safety net. So, but during the construction, a number of other men fell. 19 of them fell while 19. Besides the ones that died, 12 that died, 19 fell and landed in the net. And they became known as the Halfway to Hell Club. And they would meet every year and have get-togethers or whatever because they survived the construction.
They should have been more careful.
Well, they went halfway to hell. Mm. The bridge opening celebration began on May 27, 1937, and lasted for a whole week. The day before traffic was allowed, 200,000 people across the bridge. It's a very busy bridge if you've ever been there. Not only is it there are a lot of cars, but there's also a lot of pedestrian traffic and people riding bikes on the bridge almost at all hours. They have, because of this concern about suicide, they have blocked the bridge for pedestrian traffic in the evening, hoping to cut down on some of the people jumping. So you can walk across the bridge up until, I think it's like 6 o'clock. But after that, the bridge closes. But it's still open to bicycles. So either walk where you walk or your bicycle. So I don't know what the...
Well, no person in their right mind would waste a good bicycle.
There are 911 emergency phone boxes throughout, you know, about every 100 feet on a bridge. So for people who are feeling suicidal, there's a lot of options to pick up the phone. But the problem has been is that because of the fog, and if you've ever been to San Francisco, you know that around 5 o'clock, the fog starts coming in. And the seawater and everything has corroded those phones, so a lot of times they don't work. But even though they have people, guards out there to watch, suicide continues to be a problem. Just some recent data on the suicides from the Golden Gate Bridge. In 2012, 37 people jumped from the bridge. And again, these are people who are documented, right? We don't know how many people who jumped and was carried out to sea and ate by sharks or whatever. Because we're going to get, Colonel's going to talk about that in a little bit. But in 2012, 37 people jumped, and 100 people were stopped before they jumped. In 2013, 46 people jumped. That's the highest total in 1 year. And 118 were stopped from jumping. In 2014, 37 people jumped from the bridge, and 162 people were stopped by the Bridge Patrol or the California Highway Patrol officers.
Chips stopped them.
Ponch
and John.
Ponch and John. Eric Estrada.
Doing their thing.
In 2016, about every two or three days on average, someone goes to Golden Gate Bridge to either jump off or to try to jump off. There have been more. I mean, you think about it, that's a lot.
Why don't they put like baby gates or something over so that the people can't climb over the rails?
The rail is in.
Why don't they put a big trampoline underneath the bridge?
They've been very reluctant to do that, and a lot of it...
Plexiglass.
I think there's a couple main reasons, and I don't know, it can be debated.
Cost.
There's three reasons. Cost is one. Two is that it would interfere with the aesthetics of the bridge.
Yes, well...
And then I think there's three is,
people are going to figure out a way.
Well, and that's the argument. Although, interesting enough, there's data to show that the people who didn't jump, only like 4% of them, who went there to jump and they were talked down or whatever, only about 4% of them go on to commit suicide. So there's data that says that that's not a good argument. But
Well, if they were talked out of it, they weren't committed anyway.
The Oakland Bay Bridge, which is right, not very, a mile or so from the Golden Gate Bridge, it has very few suicides. So it's just,
Do we think it's a notoriety thing?
I think so. And I said it is a very, it's a beautiful bridge. It's very majestic, and it's a beautiful place. And I think people are drawn to it. But the reality is different than the, it may look nice, but, when you jump off, almost all the people who survived, the one thing that they all agree on is like the minute they jumped off, they had like this what the fuck moment. And because it's only 4 seconds, so you get the water in 4 seconds. And they said they had time to think, what the hell did I just do?
Well, and what I've heard is from the people who died, the last thing that went through their mind?
What?
The asshole.
Wow.
Jesus. So suicides.
You hit that water pretty hard now.
Yeah. Wow. So suicide sites tend to draw.
Just came up with that one.
I bet you did.
We need to do a podcast on that forest in Japan where all the people.
The suicide forest?
Yeah, man, that's weird at Mount Fuji. I think we did it when we were doing it.
I'll tell you what, you get a good deal on shoes there.
Huh?
You get a good deal on shoes.
People leave their shoes for some reason.
Tell you an interesting fact about bridges now, Timmy.
Of course you will.
My brother,
God rest his soul.
He's dead.
He is dead.
Of course.
And
And 1 week from today be a sixth anniversary of my dear brother's departure.
Really?
But anyway, he spent about
it has not been
five
six
or six years.
Years.
5 years, maybe.
Wow. It's not been 4 that long.
Years,
maybe. It's had at least been 5 years because I've known you for 4 years and it happened before I came down.
Okay. Maybe
no.
five. I think it's five.
Okay. Well, anyway, get to your point. Well,
anyway, he built bridges. He worked for a company that built bridges. He traveled across the United States building bridges. And you have a lot of your accidents happen when you're pouring concrete into the footers.
That's mm-hmm. what Timmy does. He builds bridges.
Right, I'm a bridge bro.
And two things.
If
you fall in concrete when they're pouring the concrete, mm-hmm. they don't stop pouring.
Right.
They do not stop pouring the concrete, and they tell the guys that.
Yeah.
You know?
I think that when they built the Hoover Dam, there was a couple guys
ended
up in the dam.
And the other thing, he built one in Pittsburgh, and I was just thinking about this when you said it's in the bay and the sharks mm-hmm. and whatnot. The underwater welders, when they were building one across Three Rivers mm-hmm. Demanded that they have cages because the catfish was so big. It wasn't that they worried about the catfish eating them.
Mm-hmm.
They were worried about the catfish dragging them down the river because they were so damn big that they would pull them away from the oxygen lines. So they got some. So you can imagine what the underwater welders there must have, underwater whatever they did.
But you know, also, this was during the Depression, so I'm sure they were so desperate for jobs that, you know, they probably took risks that maybe they wouldn't have. I don't know.
I ain't never been that desperate for a job. I go home. I go steal some shit before I do that.
So one of the reasons, as I mentioned, the bridge has such a, it attracts so many suicides is, it's very beautiful, it's appealing. But it also tends to draw people who mistakenly believe that the bridge will result in a quick, near certain death with no messy cleanup. And then,
well, it is near certain.
Well, we'll talk about that a little bit later, kind of like what you might experience should you decide to take the leap. In fact, 5% of the jumpers survive the impact and then drown. Their bodies are then retrieved by the Coast Guard.
Oh, that's
kind
of hurt.
Yeah. And some have actually survived it, and we'll talk. There's been 26 people who survived it, and they've suffered permanent physical injuries. One guy survived it, went back and jumped a second time.
There you go. And
well, he wasn't going to be no failure.
No, he was
like, you know
he
what?
Was successful the second time.
He climbed up on the bridge and was like, you know what? Fuck this. My whole life I failed everything and then jumped off the bridge.
Yep. Wasn't going to fail at that.
And he was like, fuck this. I go, it's like, that's.
You can just see him getting pissed when he's walking up the hill. He's all wet.
You got to have a broken leg or some shit. You're strolling back up there, at least with a torn Achilles or something.
And I actually think he was a very. I don't want to pass judgment, but he was a very strange individual. He was doing, if I recall right, it was in the documentary, The Bridge. He was doing it because he was protesting something, and he jumped. He survived, and then he jumped off protesting the Iraq War, and he was successful. But I mean, he made a big deal of it, like he was going to do this, and they interviewed him before he did it and all this. So it was a bizarre situation, but. Most of the people who jump never come back to tell the story, but there have been 1,700 at least who have jumped, and of course we can't go over all of them, but Brandy's going to tell us a little bit about some of the more interesting ones.
All right. So, first of all, I want to say that if you find yourself in trouble and you don't have anybody else to talk to, 800-273-8255 is the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline. So give it a call. We will. I'll say it again at the end of the podcast, because really nothing is worth all of this mess.
Yeah, and we joke around a lot, but we don't want anyone to take this like
we're not making light of it. We're really not.
Not exactly.
So the first known intentional death from the Golden Gate Bridge. So these aren't the people that are living in the concrete. It occurred when the bridge was just a little over 3 months old. And it was on the morning in August 1937, Harold Wauber, a 42-year-old bargeman, took a bus to the northwest side of San Francisco. He was en route to the Golden Gate Bridge. While on the bus, he met a college professor from Connecticut that was vacationing in the city, and they had a pleasant conversation.
I wonder if he had, little patches on his
sport coat. He was smoking a pipe, clearly. Upon arrival, the two men exited the bus and made their way to the east sidewalk of the bridge. They walked the entire length of the bridge, which is about 2 miles. And when they reached the north end, the two men turned around and headed back. So they're just taking a little leisurely walk.
It's a long walk. I mean,
well, whatever. They walk down there and they walk back. Yeah. So it's kind of stupid to take a bus there and then walk back. Just dumb. So anyway, on their way back, about mid-span, Wobber turned to his new friend, handed him his coat and vest, and said, "Well, this is as far as I go." And then he climbed over the rail. The professor grabbed Wobber by the belt, but he couldn't hold him, and he lost his grip. And his new friend fell to his death.
Actually, that was, you know, you think about it, that was pretty brave of that professor, because he could have went tumbling over.
Right.
Yeah, he could have.
Wobber was a patient at the Veterans Hospital in Menlo Park, California. He'd been diagnosed with non compos mentis, a Latin term meaning that he was mentally incapable of handling his own affairs. So he was a little bit of a loon.
Yeah, well, he had post-traumatic stress, I think.
That's what it sounds like. Mm-hmm. He was the first person to commit suicide from the Golden Gate Bridge. After his death, the newspapers reported that Wobber was a victim of shell shock and had been undergoing mental health treatment.
So he was the first one, first guy.
And then we have August and Marilyn DeMont.
Yeah, this is a strange one.
Now, I don't like any part of what I'm reading here.
Yeah, I know. It's not pleasant.
Until 1993, the youngest death off the bridge was 5-year-old Marilyn DeMont. Marilyn, a blonde 5-year-old girl who stood on the girder just outside the bridge's railing in 1945. And it was almost like a death game. Without a word, she looked at her father, who commanded her to jump. There you go. That's quality parenting. Then August DeMont, a 37-year-old San Francisco elevator installation foreman, gracefully dived after his daughter. A note on DeMont's car offered only, "I and my daughter have committed suicide." Huh. So he was a man of few words.
It's a what? Read that back.
"I and my daughter have committed suicide."
Well, not only was he grammatically incorrect, it should be "my daughter and I."
Wow.
And I believe it goes to his state of mind that he put himself, "I am my daughter," in front of his daughter.
The 5-year-old doesn't want to kill herself.
Well, 5-year-olds can be crazy.
They can, but they don't want to kill themselves.
Yeah, well, if they don't get the right, dude, whatever.
There's been other examples where parents and
people, I don't like that. Parents taking their kids. It's so selfish.
Other examples where they jump in holding their babies.
The whole act of suicide is just an extremely selfish act, but then...
I believe that the act of suicide is an angry act.
It's selfish.
I believe it's selfish, but I think it's mostly out of anger.
Yeah.
Well,
but to take your kid with you.
But I have been told, I had a therapist tell me, and you got to be careful with therapists now.
Oh, yeah.
Because if a therapist ever asks you, "Do you have plans?" Do you have a plan?
No, no plans.
You say no plans. Now, I have one time, and it's a true story. I can verify it. Jeez, I can get this verified by Mrs. Colonel. The Colonel, as I said, and I'm not, you know, worried about talking about this. The Colonel has suffered deep bouts of depression in his day. So I know how some of these people feel. And I was seeing a therapist, and the therapist asked me, had I ever thought harming myself? And I said, no, not really. And he said, well, if you was going to do it. And now, there was a little bit of communication barrier because he was Eastern Indian. And every time he talked, all I could picture was Abu from The Simpsons.
Wow.
That's all I could picture in my mind, and I was kind of giggle inappropriately, so that was not a good thing.
It was also the guy on Seinfeld.
Yeah, so anyway,
Babu.
He said, well, if you was going to do it, how would you do it? So I gave him a very good plan.
Very detailed plan.
Very detailed plan.
Did you have a PowerPoint presentation?
I did not have my thumb drive with the PowerPoint on it. I cannot help it that I'm a quick thinker. I came up with a good plan.
That's what you are, as a quick thinker.
And The colonel found himself in the hospital.
Yeah, well, that's not surprising.
Yeah, my regular doctor came and got me out after one day. But true story, the colonel did spend the night in his psychiatric ward of a hospital because the doctor asked me if I had a plan. Mm-hmm. And I said no. And he said, well, give me a plan. And I gave him a really, really good one.
Well,
yeah, when I was in, I worked at a suicide hotline.
Which is wrong that he ever worked at the suicide hotline.
I know, but you determine whether or not a suicide was a high risk or not, right? And then the questions you ask, just like you said, are you thinking about suicide? Yes. Then you go to, do you have a plan? And then if they say yes, do you have the ability to implement that plan? If you say you were going to jump off the Golden Gate Bridge and you're here in Ohio, well, you know, you're not in any, you know, probably immediate danger. But if you said, if you gave a detailed plan, then that means that you're much higher risk. So your plan was what, Colonel? What did you tell him your plan was?
My plan, I said, you know, I was thinking about everything, and I said, here's what I would do. I would put a nail in my tire, and I would drive out on the highway, and I would wait until my tire went flat. And then when my tire went flat, I would get out to change it, and I would wait till a big truck came, and I would walk in front of it.
Okay, so now the truck driver's going to have that on his conscience for the rest of his life.
Well, he probably will.
Not that you cared.
But your wife would get insurance.
But my wife would get double the insurance money. There'd be no stigma of suicide, and I'd be done with it.
Well, Colonel, how did that turn out for you?
But you damaged yourself.
I got to spend the night in a psychiatric ward.
Clearly successful.
That's been enough.
The psychiatrist immediately left the room, went out, talked to my wife, told him that I was a very, very ill man, and that I needed to be observed.
Yeah.
Now, at this point, the colonel, you can imagine when it's a difficult position to be in when somebody's telling you you're crazy, and you're not, you start acting crazy.
So you were acting out.
Well, I told him he was out of his damn mind, and maybe he needed to spend a night or two in that.
That's called protecting.
So I was not committed. Mm-hmm. I was just, my wife talked me into voluntarily checking myself in until my doctor could come in and make another thorough diagnosis, at which case he did the next morning, and he drove the colonel home.
Okay. Well, we're glad that you didn't follow through with your plan, Colonel.
I'm a little aggravated he wants to put the truck driver through all that. Yeah. That's pretty crappy.
Well, so, Brandy, tell us about some other examples of people who jumped off the Golden Gate Bridge.
Jeez. On January 28th of 1993, so this was recent-ish, Stephen Page murdered his wife, Nancy, then threw his daughter, Kelly, off the Golden Gate Bridge before jumping off the bridge himself. Page worked as a buyer at the Wagamun Nursery in Fremont, California. The Page family home was in Fremont, but Page maintained a separate apartment after he and his wife separated. At 10 o'clock in the morning on January 28th, Page drove to their Fremont home and murdered his wife with a 12-gauge shotgun. He then left a message for his mother-in-law to pick up his 9-year-old stepson from school. After arriving at the Page home, she discovered the body of her daughter. After killing his wife, he drove their 3-year-old daughter, Kelly, to the Golden Gate Bridge. Highway patrol officers, the Ponch John, they noticed Page walking along the bridge carrying a bundle and recognized it to be a small child. After being approached by the officers because of his unusual behavior, Page threw Kelly over the railing, then climbed over the railing and jumped off himself.
So that's murder-suicide. Not only murder the wife, but murder of the child as well.
Let's see. Following the incident, investigators were puzzled by Page's apparent lack of psychological indicators prior to the murder-suicide. The U.S. Coast Guard spokesperson, Shelley Freer, stated that the Coast Guard had recovered the bodies of both father and daughter by the next day. An apology letter addressed to Page's 9-year-old stepson, who was at school at the time of all 3 deaths, was found at the family home. In the letter, Page apologized for what he'd done, showing premeditation for both the murders of his wife and daughter as well as his suicide. What a dick.
Well, he apologized.
Yeah, but notice, like, he didn't take, like, he took their child together and tossed her over the bridge.
Yeah.
But his stepson, he left alone.
But he apologized.
Oh, well, and clearly that makes everything so much better.
He had good manners.
He's a dick.
I feel bad for the child and wife and child.
Yeah, because he's a dick.
Murder, suicide.
Yeah, yeah. Thomas Doyle, let's see, experts say about one-third of suicide victims leave notes. Perhaps the most puzzling, however, was the one left by 49-year-old John Thomas Doyle on November of 1954. He left a note that said, "Absolutely no reason except that I have a toothache."
What do you think about that, Colonel?
I've had a toothache before.
Well, I have had some. I'll tell you what, it ain't like you had a kidney stone, for fuck's sake. I mean,
no, there's nothing like having a kidney stone.
I had a kidney stone make me want to jump off a bridge.
I had a kidney stone, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't have the corner on kidney stones.
But you make a good point, Brenda. You talk about it being a selfish act. There may not be a truck driver involved, or may not be family members involved, but the Colonel will talk about later is these guys that pull their bodies out of the ocean. I mean, that's got to be a tough job.
It's a suck job. It's a short straw job.
Yeah.
And, you know, whatever. There was another strange episode. When David Cleveland's body was recovered in 1971, officials found $36 in his mouth.
Huh.
Maybe he's taking it to pay a toll.
That's odd.
I wonder if they jerked his arm if the money came out of his mouth.
Do you think it was? Oh. You think it was paper money, or do you think it was coins?
It was change.
Maybe he was weighing himself down.
Make fun of. That's weird, though. That is strange.
Yeah. Let's see. Another unusual twist on the bridge involved Charles S. Gallagher, a credit manager for a large San Jose hardware firm. In 1954, Gallagher seemed to have the good life. He was on stage, hitting watermelons. It was crazy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He had to take a raincoat to a show.
He did.
Don't sit in the first row.
Okay. He had a good life. He was the director of the San Jose Merchants Association. He drove a late model car and lived in a new, expensive home. Sounds like Timmy's life. However, returning from a 2-week vacation, Gallagher learned that an audit begun before he left.
Oh, the old audit, Colonel.
Yep, and was still in progress.
Okay, that makes you jump off a bridge.
He was still in progress. He told co-workers he was going out for coffee. He then drove his sedan north to the bridge and took his life. 4 days later, Gallagher's son, Charles S. Gallagher Jr., a 24-year-old pre-med student at UCLA, drove the same car to the bridge and leapt from almost the identical spot.
They got Christine there? Or somebody?
I don't know. In a short note, young Gallagher said, "I am sorry. I want to keep Dad company."
So as it was father's son, it was 4 days apart.
Well, the family that jumps together.
Is that
drowns
what it is?
Together.
Pumps together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let's see. Marissa Emery was just 14 years old when she left a note that said, "Everyone is better off without this fat, disgusting, boring girl."
Yeah, this is one they highlighted in the Bridge documentary, and it's kind of heartbreaking.
She was 14 years old, and on Mondays, she got a lift to Santa Rosa High School with her pal Jordan's mom. Before going to her first period computer class the week before Christmas, Marissa called the yellow cab on the cell phone her father had given her and arranged for a taxi to fetch her at 9 a.m.
Fetch her?
That I'm reading what it's written
was
here
she a bone
by the Appalachian gentleman sitting over there.
Bill Shakespeare.
Go fetch her. Come on.
Gonna fetch her.
Fetch the girl.
Please tell the story.
Mother, fetch her. Okay.
You ever notice since we started doing these late in the afternoon?
He's more
testing. Like, let's get it moving.
I didn't sleep last night. Casey has noticed.
Yeah.
Casey has noticed. A
couple of listeners have sent me private messages.
He wants to know why Timmy's been such a squirrel the past couple of podcasts.
Casey, come in and do a few of these in a row, and you will lose your mind.
We're here with you. Jesus, crime in Italy. Yeah. It's not like you're having a...
All right. Talk about the little
it's not
girl.
That bad. First of all, I don't appreciate your tone.
We are
going to start the PAT, Podcasters Against Timmy organization, soon.
I'm sorry if we're
LLC.
You know what we're not? Allie or Charlie.
No, we are not.
Well, apparently we're not.
Well, no. That's for sure. You're not. Please not. Continue.
Okay, so the taxi fetched her.
Okay.
And she left school after the computer class. Mm-hmm. She walked around the corner to whatever street it was, to a rental unit that was owned by her family. Taxi was waiting in the driveway, and Marissa told the driver she wanted to go to the aquarium in San Francisco. He told her it cost about $150. She pulled a wad of cash out, flashed it at the driver, and hopped into the back seat.
Loaded for a 14-year-old.
Nice. Baller shot caller.
Oh, yeah.
The driver asked how old Marissa was and why she wasn't in school, which sounds a little pervy and none of his fucking business.
What you doing after school,
girl? I was looking out for her.
It's not his fucking business. Shut up and drive the cab.
Jesus.
Don't fucking worry about
me. This was the days before Uber, you know.
Jesus.
Shut up and drive the cab. You're not my dad.
All right,
what the
ahead.
Hell?
Go ahead.
She said she was 18.
I'm the one that's a little touchy.
She went to a junior college, mm-hmm. and she talked all the way to the place about her passion for cross-country running. About an hour later, they drove south across the Golden Gate Bridge. Just past the toll plaza on the San Francisco side, Marissa asked the driver to pull over so that she could use the public bathroom. When she came back out, she told him she was going to walk the rest of the way.
Which bathroom did she go in? Now, in San Francisco, did they have the...
The public bathroom.
Okay, so anybody could go in there.
Anybody.
No, it's just chaos. Oh.
It was a porta potty.
Oh, okay.
Let's see. She told me she couldn't walk the rest of the way. He said, that's fine. You owe me $132. She gave him the $150, told him to keep the change. So she's a good tipper. Hmm? Of course, what does she give a shit? Because, you know. The cabbie turned around and headed north back across the bridge. He saw Marissa in his rearview mirror walking north and back onto the span. He thought it was odd, but... he kept it moving. So now he doesn't want to get involved. Motherfucker was like Walter Cronkite a minute ago with 50
all up in her business.
Up in her business. Mm-hmm. But
dude,
now,
he's get
now it's not, yeah, not my concern.
All right.
Let's see. Walking along the east sidewalk, Marissa smiled as she passed a bridge worker who'd said hello. She stopped near a lamppost, laid her wallet on the ground, climbed onto the railing, and plunged to her death. That is sad, and you know what it is?
I think it was, and this wasn't that long ago. I think this was
2001.
Like, yeah, 2001.
Damn, high school girls are mean.
Yeah. Oh, fuck it.
Oh, yeah.
You don't want to get on the bad side of a high school girl.
You know, when you get older, you don't get much better, but.
Really?
Well, you don't drive people to suicide. You just don't. You just try to get along with the world.
You know, what was the guy on 60 Minutes? The guy who, the comedian, that guy always come on, you know what I'm talking
Rooney?
About. Yeah, yeah.
Andy Rooney,
he would always say, you know, it's better to have a relationship with an older woman because an older woman...
Their expectations are low.
And they're not going to wake you up in the middle of the night and ask you what you're thinking. Because they... Because they don't care.
They don't care.
Yeah.
That's true. We don't.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Yeah,
we do not.
All right, continue, Brandy.
Let's see. On August 26, 1993, Roy Raymond, the founder of Victoria's Secret, died from falling from the Golden Gate Bridge at the age of 46.
What the hell? He had all those Victoria's Secret angels?
Models.
He was last seen walking toward the bridge, and shortly thereafter, his body washed up on the shoreline.
I bet he had erectile dysfunction. Could you imagine? Because you could have all the Victoria's Secret model of your choice.
Maybe he was different orientation.
And you can't get wood. I'd jump off a bridge too.
Well, you can't get wood, and you're still here.
Yeah.
We don't want you to jump, Colonel.
On a warm
afternoon. I think your window might be kind of funny.
Oh my God, shut your cock garage. I'm trying to get this out.
Ding, 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 ding. Because he would break his ankle if he jumped from his window.
Oh God. I know, he'd do it wrong.
Sprain
anyway.
His ankle. Yeah.
You know what though? But the way that his shit is, he could jump off the Golden Gate Bridge and only end up with a sprained ankle.
Probably.
This son of a bitch here.
I'm so fucked up the way it is.
I know.
You couldn't break no more shit on me.
Let's see. On a warm afternoon in late October 2003, Kathy Hull filled the gas tank of her white 89 Honda Accord. Hondas will run forever.
But why would she fill the gas tank? That's what I don't get.
Well, somebody's going to have to move her car at some point, I would suppose.
She's being thoughtful.
She is trying to be thoughtful. And drove from Santa Cruz to San Francisco. Let's see.
That's quite
Highway 280. Yeah, it's a long way.
Long drive.
Crossing the San Francisco Bridge at twilight. Well, that's a woman that's determined. We are going to drive all that way because she could have done some shit at home. I'm sure she passed a bridge.
Could have walked in the ocean, yeah.
Right. Let's see. Crossing the Golden Gate Bridge at twilight, the 26-year-old UC Santa Cruz student parked her car at Vista Point on the Marin County side of the Sweeping Red Monument, at a place where tourists take in the splendid view of the city by the bay. She got out of her car, walked midway across the bridge, put her purse on the sidewalk, climbed over the railing to the so-called cord, the steel beam on the other side of the rail. Mm-hmm. Kathy put her cell phone down on the cord. Then she jumped into the cold green waters flowing into the Pacific.
Yeah, some of the jumpers don't make it. They don't go out far enough, and they jump and they hit land.
Well, that sucks for them.
That would be...
Yeah. Oh, that's got to hurt.
Well, I mean, probably hitting water at 80 miles an hour is just as bad.
You know what I'm wondering, though? But here's what I'm wondering. If you do one of the things where you, like... If you don't belly flop, maybe you don't break every bone in your fucking
body.
There's
a certain angle I'll get into that.
Yeah,
there's
like
a certain angle you got to hit.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't want to go in feet first. You want to go in at an angle.
Feet first, but in an angle.
At an angle, yeah. Mm-hmm. But you don't want to do a cannonball.
You want your hands on your testicles.
I don't think you want to do a belly flop in that either.
No.
Because that would hurt. I hate doing the belly flop and then your belly gets all red. I hate that.
Yeah. You put one hand on your testicles, one hand on your nose.
I don't have testicles.
That's a problem.
That would explain a few things.
Yeah, so my husband says, too. Fuckers.
How old are you now? Go.
None of your fucking business, how old are you?
They're coming.
No, no way.
Yours are disappearing.
No.
Just like the
sunrise. Getting lower.
Fucking gross old man. Fucking nasty.
You get the colonel's, you get the colonel's age, you gotta be careful not to step on him.
I will be a year older coming up.
Me too.
I know.
Me too.
We have
birthdays.
You will still be much older than me.
We have back-to-back birthdays.
What day is your birthday, Timmy?
The 9th. And
yours
is
the
10th.
Yours is the 10th, yeah. And my dearly departed brother left us on the 8th.
Okay.
God, that's my dad's birthday, so you know.
Really?
Yeah, we all got things going on.
Mother's Day is coming. Happy Mother's Day.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Happy Mother's Day to all our... Listen,
you know, during
there.
My part of this is not the time for all that.
Yeah,
shit.
We'll have another podcast out by then. Anyway.
Yeah, so
we should do a Mother's Day murderer.
Let's go continue this one, Brandy.
I would like to. Thank you, Leonard.
You guys are being more and more dicks lately. I noticed that.
Yeah, just prepare for your part. Go ahead, Brandy.
I'm not even prepared. I might not even do my part.
Your cum dumpster's flapping.
What did you tell me about?
I'm not going to give you a high five on that one. No.
What should he do? Park his what?
I told him to shut his cum dumpster that time.
Oh, yeah, I know. All right, go ahead.
You got told to shut your cock garage.
Yeah, all right, go ahead.
Let's see.
Excuse me, listeners, while I open a refreshing mint.
So rude.
Dirty. Right,
Timmy hates that, so I do it.
Dirty perv. Leonard Branzula. Mm-hmm. A 32-year-old Lowell High School wrestling coach, well, there it is, got a haircut on a hot June morning in 1993, then walked to his mother's apartment at 17 in Mission. She wasn't home, so Leonard went around the corner to a little Mexican restaurant and had some rice and beans. He finished eating and went back to see if his mother was home. She wasn't. So he went back to the restaurant to wait for her. driving with some change in the jukebox to listen to Whitney Houston sing "I Will Always Love You."
That's a tearjerker.
Oh, he didn't. You know what?
Oh,
it was between that and "I Will Survive," and he picked that one.
I know. Well, you know what?
That was rain him in.
My. Oh,
that's terrible.
Nice.
It's raining men.
That was my high school boyfriend's little song.
It's raining men?
No, "I Will Always Love You." Of course, it didn't really work out, so it doesn't matter. But all right, so.
Did you drown in a bathtub?
He loved you for a little while.
Oh, yeah.
Did he drown in a bathtub?
He did not drown in a bathtub.
Oh, okay.
Is he alive today?
He is alive today.
Oh, okay.
God, I bet he saw men dodge a bullet.
He probably did at this point. Jesus God. All right, so somebody saw Leonard later waiting for the for a bus, and it was the 22 Fillmore bus, which winds its way around town to the Marina Green on the edge of the bay about a mile east of the Golden Gate Bridge. And his wallet was found on the bridge's city-facing sidewalk, and somebody saw a body bobbing in the water below.
Bobbing. You know, they have guys up there that will direct. You know, they'll direct the searchers, the Coast Guard from the.
Well, they shoot a little flare down.
Yeah, a flare
down.
Yeah,
let me scratch that part off of where I had.
No, I'm sorry, Colonel. Please go ahead. Go ahead, Brandy. Continue with the stories of gloom.
So, Lois? Lois Ann Houston.
Mm-hmm.
She went down really hard. She was a heavy-set 75-year-old. She jumped from the bridge and apparently hit the water face first. The impact opened up her face from nose to chin, leaving a big gaping red wound and a grotesque death mask.
Are you laughing? That's awful. You're sick, man.
You know the bitch was always sick.
Who's going to feed her cats now? Shut up.
That's true. Oh, man. That's,
and they ain't got no
and she was how old? How old was she?
She's 75.
You know, but...
She's one of the older ones.
One of the laws of physics is that 5-year-old girl and her hit the water at the same speed. It doesn't matter if she was a heavy set or a bigger lady. They hit the water at the same speed.
Just reading. Okay. Timmy wanted everybody to know she was a fat old woman.
Yeah, what do you got about that?
I did not, I mean, but she is one of the older...
Everybody else was built.
She is one of the older women, or is that one of the older people?
So she was. Bridge jumpers are seldom elderly women, but Miss Houston.
But people that cause people to jump from bridges
are always elderly women.
Typically elderly.
Houston
women.
Chose
are women in period.
Cloudy Sunday morning, April 24th, 2005, to end her life. She drove north onto the bridge in her blue Ford Taurus. Well, if you're going to leave a Ford Taurus behind, shit. Yeah.
If you're driving a Ford Taurus, you really don't have
much. You know there was a big family fight over who got that car.
She put her flashers on. I mean, she was considerate. She climbed over the divider to the pedestrian walkway. The CHIPS officer spotted the car and went to investigate. He saw that the vehicle was empty, and then he saw Houston on top of the bridge railing. I wonder how much effort it for her to get her ass up there.
No, but you know what? It does not take a lot of effort to get over the railing. I mean,
she is 75 and clearly, heavy set.
She's not an Olympian.
The fat girl is not wanting to get her old bones over.
She ain't a Chinese gymnast.
I'm just telling you.
Bless her heart.
It's very easy to get over that.
So she could have just leaned and had physics do the rest.
I mean, it's really too easy.
So she glanced really over at the CHIPS officer, flipped him off.
Did she really?
And no.
Okay. It would have been great.
I know. She should have. And then she glanced at him and hopped off the bridge. An investigation showed that she had recently been diagnosed with colon cancer.
Did she say...
She had the bloody stool.
She say, "Hey, Cockwomble, check this out."
Oh, man.
She might have.
So, really, so she was...
She was sick. She was going to die.
Yeah.
She had been recently told that the cancer had spread to her liver.
Oh.
And the pathologist report said she died of multiple blunt force injuries due to a jump from height. So... That guy was on top of his game right there.
Yeah. That's
on top of it.
Fucking Quincy right there. He wasn't going to miss.
Quincy. So there's so many others, but we got Filomeno de la Cruz, 33, was deeply depressed because he was going through a divorce and a child custody battle. So on Thanksgiving Day.
And he got the kids.
Right.
He won
custody. Nope. This is bullshit. So on Thanksgiving Day, 1993, he took his 2-year-old son to the bridge, cradled him in his arms, and jumped.
Yeah,
and they both died.
Yeah, there's been a couple, two or three examples of that.
That's kind of a dick move.
That's a total dick move. In 1980, Robert Blythner, 27, a Navy veteran, flew from Virginia to see the bridge and then jumped off of it.
He got to get there.
Well, because you're there.
Yeah.
Well, you what know, else you, gonna do? You know, he probably was flying Delta and he was thinking, that fucking flight back is just
going to be a bitch.
Yeah. If he flew there, why couldn't he fly off the bridge?
He died.
Poor guy.
I wonder how many people thought there was Superman.
Not many.
Probably only the ones on acid.
Oh, okay.
Mark Finch, 33, was suffering from severe clinical depression. So we're just a dick hair away.
Here's what we do.
We're just a pecker hair away from going off the Golden Gate Bridge. That's why we go to California.
And look what his doctor's next move is.
Because we're doing this podcast and we're going to know that this is not a very pleasant death. So
look what his doctor decided to do. He's
so he's suffering from clinical depression. And his doctor was in the process of coming off his antidepressants when he jumped to his death in 1990.
That was probably not good.
You know what?
Dr. Kevorkian. I don't know. Fucking Dr. Kevorkian.
So his, wait a minute.
Dr. Phil was taking him off his depressants.
His doctor was tapering him off.
Yeah.
His doctor was a Scientologist.
That's why you can only take about a half milligram of Xanax before you start getting the tics and you really need to wean yourself off. Let's see.
But, you know, and then they got the next guy who was a diabetic. His doctor was taking him off the
insulin. Well, no, I'm not there yet. Just relax. Another old jumper was Lewis Ann Houston. Although I think I just talked about her.
All right.
I did.
She was the oldest one.
She was the oldest one.
Yeah.
All right. Just talked about her. On June 5th, 2014, 27-year-old Sean Moylan of Novato, California, jumped from the Golden Gate Bridge, ending his life. The Coast Guard pulled pulled his body out of the water beneath the bridge. He was the grandson of John Moylan, a longtime member of the Golden Gate District Board of Directors, who campaigned for the installation of suicide barriers on the bridge. So maybe he was helping his grandpa out and just showing, you know what, you fuckers need to put those
things
up.
I'll show those bastards.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was, I mean, they've been advocating, you know, there's been a group advocating for the safety net for, you know, probably since the bridge opened, but certainly last 20 years.
Let's see. The elder Moylan was president of the board when, in 2008, a historic decision was made to build the barrier at a cost of $68 million. John Moylan referred to his grandson's death as heartbreaking. However, he didn't blame it on the lack of barriers. Sean Moylan already had attempted suicide in February 2014 after a breakup with his girlfriend. He walked in front of a truck in Oregon and was critically injured.
Yeah, so he was like,
he didn't even get the double end.
So where are you getting going off your insulin? Well, you know, place here.
I just made that up. I was taking him off to antidepressants.
He was one of the rare cases, because I said, remember, like only 4% of people who they talk down from jumping end up committing suicide. And the
he tried twice in a year. He really
He was like one of the exceptions, because most of them don't. And some people just described it that they've interviewed in this documentary is it was just an impulse. It was like they was up there, and I was like, oh, this is
beautiful. And I think that's, you know, I think that with this, it's much more, it strikes me as much more impulsive than a person shooting himself.
Right, yeah. You have to take affirmative steps to do that, whereas some people have just...
You can just pull the damn car over.
Some people have just
described... That guy flew out there.
But there have been people who've just been walking across it and just decided, okay, this is beautiful. This is the place.
It's fucking 2 miles long. I've been on a 2-mile hike with Renee and then had to walk 2 miles back. I'd have jumped off a damn bridge, too.
Have you ever driven... I'm sure you have driven that bridge in Florida.
Oh, fuck me. The Sunshine Bridge.
It looks like it goes straight up into the clouds.
No. You're talking about that thing's awful.
Oh, not that one.
That Highway 1 or whatever.
It goes to the Keys.
Through the Keys. And there's like water on each side of you.
And there gathers nothing.
It's not elevated either. It's just...
Now, see, that would not bother me. I've gone over a bridge over Lake Pontchartrain New Orleans. It's, I believe, the longest bridge in the country.
I believe the bridge over
Lake Pontchartrain. Listeners, I'm sorry. I think it's the longest one bridge over water in the country.
The Golden Gate Bridge
is 26 miles, I believe.
The Golden Gate Bridge was the largest suspension bridge in the world. But now I think it's number 9 or something like that.
I don't know. That one in Florida makes my belly tingle when I
was on that thing. I was on that thing, and there was a tropical depression storm coming in, and you know, all the cars are, I mean, it was pouring rain, all the cars are backed up, and I was like, because I'm claustrophobic, and I was like, I got to get off this fucking thing. But it goes like for miles.
Now, see, ever and ever and ever, yeah.
I had gone down to Florida my senior year in high school to and went over that Sunshine Bridge over to Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
And that sumbitch looks like it's going straight up into heaven, and when I had been there,
between Tampa Bay bridges. And St. Petersburg,
It takes you to Siesta Key, and I forget, but there was two bridges. There's two identical bridges. One goes north, one goes south. And a barge had just hit one of the bridges.
Yes.
And so cars fell like 150 feet into the bay.
Right.
So it was very scary. The colonel was terrified.
Do you know if your car goes into a bridge, you can take your headrest off and pop and bust the windows out?
Good thinking.
That's what they're for. Huh? That's the safety feature that's built in. Listeners, see?
Well, let's talk about what happens when you jump.
Okay. Oh, from the Golden Gate
Bridge. From the Golden Gate Bridge. The deck is approximately 245 feet above the water. After a fall of approximately 4 seconds, which comes out to 60 foot per second or 86 miles an hour, you hit the water. Now,
4 seconds. So basically, seconds. You know, just like, you know, you're not even into start of one of your stories, and it's over.
Exactly. Now, some of those very few survive the impact. If they do, they drown or die of hypothermia. Some are eaten by sharks.
There you go.
Every time a person jumps, if the Coast Guard sees it, they shoot a little flare there, try to recover the body. They don't often get the body, but the Coast Guard has to come and pick you up. Now, it's a gruesome act. It's gruesome. Death is almost certain here. Now, people have survived the fall, but not that many. To do it, you have to hit the water feet first and come in at a 12-degree angle. 12 degrees. Listen to that.
Well, we don't want our listeners to even attempt it, so we're not going to tell them that.
Well, the impact to the body is tremendous. It's like getting, well, it's like getting hit by a brick wall going 80, that day a wall's yeah. going 86 miles an hour. It's like being shot out of a cannon at 86 miles an hour into the side of a building. The body goes from roughly 75 to 80 miles, 86 miles an hour to zero in a nanosecond. Now, the physics of inertia being what they are, internal organs tend to keep going.
Keep it moving.
So the force of an impact causes them to tear loose.
Ew.
Yeah, autopsy reports typically indicate that the jumpers have lacerated aortas, livers, spleens, hearts, broken ribs. Impact shoves them into the hearts and lungs, and jumpers have broken sternums, clavicles, pelvises, and necks. Skull fractures are also common to me.
You're a mess.
You're just a fucked up mess, yeah. Which means you die one of two ways, or a combination of both. Once you hit the water, the impact kills you. That's the easy way to go.
That's the preferred method.
Now, sometimes the jumper's knocked unconscious, and they drown. Mm-hmm. Other times, the jumper survives for just a short time, but they got a broken clavicle, sternum, hip, whatever. And they ain't very good at swimming to the shore with all that stuff, so they drown. Other times, they get halfway to the shore, and a shark gets them.
There you go.
So, sometimes people can be seen flailing in the water, trying to stay afloat, only to succumb to the massive external injuries.
And there's a lot of activity and stuff going on there. I mean, there's boats, there's parasailing and stuff. All that's going on right there. Under
baseball. I mean, there's fishing. They got all kinds of stuff.
No, because you know what, though? But that's a very public way. I mean, that's almost one of those things where it's like...
Unless you do it at night.
Well, but that's almost one of those things it seems like, you know, people are doing it because they want somebody to stop them.
Yeah, some people think it's an easy way to go. It is not a pretty death. The Coast Guard can get there within 4 minutes, typically.
Too late.
But that ain't going to help you. The sea, and to me, this was beautifully written. The sea reclaims bodies quickly. Fish eat them.
Thank you, Colonel.
Not just sharks, but little fish. Now, I want you to think about this.
Oh, yeah.
Because little fish will go straight after your testicles.
They swim in your urethra.
Your eyes. They'll go right into your urethra.
Nothing worse than having a fish in your urethra.
I don't know.
No. No, you know what? And barracudas prefer anuses.
That will go straight for an anus. So,
little known fact. Little known animal tidbit.
Yeah, well, it's like watching
the Wild Kingdom.
Barracudas hide in caves.
It's like listening to Snoop Dogg narrate Planet Earth.
So, the barracuda it squirms its way into the anus, barracuda. Turns itself around, eats its way out.
Okay, it's gruesome.
It's gruesome.
Yes.
Eventually, the body, much like my son's car, falls apart. Mm-hmm. The body floats because decay causes gases to form within the cavities.
Sure.
Now, Allie knows this. Our listeners will now, but Allie could tell you better than anybody. If you're going to throw somebody in a river or in a bay or whatever, mm-hmm. you puncture all the good cavities so when the gases come out, the body still stays on the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
Nice tidbit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like a box or something.
Now, let's talk about some of the survivors.
Okay. Some people have survived.
1,700 victims and mm-hmm. pseudo-suicides there have been at least 26 people who survived the fall. One dumb son-bitch survived the first fall, only to die in the second attempt.
Yeah, he's spotlighted.
He's dedicated.
He's highlighted in that, the Bridge documentary.
His name was Kevin Hines. It was September 24, 2000. He was 19 years old. He was paranoid and hallucinating when he jumped off the Golden Gate Bridge. He threw himself headfirst over the bridge railing. He fell 220 feet into San Francisco Bay. During the fall, the body rotated so that when Hines hit the water, he landed in a sitting position, which resulted in an instant enema for the poor boy. Saltwater enema, you know that can't feel good.
Right.
He took the impact in his legs and up to his back. Now, three of this boy's vertebrae, his vertebrae was shattered. It lacerated his lower internal organs. A Coast Guard vessel rescued him, and he was transported to a hospital in San Francisco where he received emergency surgery. Following further experimental surgery, any physical evidence was is almost non-existent, and he had full mobility to this day. He's not the one that jumped twice.
Right.
What?
So,
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got this confused. All this about Kevin Hines, he's not the guy who jumped twice.
Right, he jumped twice. Kevin Hines, I think, became a real advocate for the safety.
Yeah, he is following everything. He went through all these surgeries, and he said there was a millisecond of free fall. Actually, it was 4 seconds, but it seemed like a millisecond. In that instance, I thought, what have I just done? I don't want to die. God, please save me, which is probably what everybody else who jumped thought, except for the big lady. She was like, "Ah, fuck it. I had enough. I'm 75. I don't care. I got shit to make for the bakery thing at church. I don't feel like doing that. I'm just going to go." But anyway, this Hines guy, following his suicide attempt, he received some notoriety as a survivor.
Mm-hmm.
He appeared in a documentary film, The Bridge.
Oh.
And being interviewed on CNN by Larry King.
Oh.
So he was getting to be well known. Additionally,
I wonder where Larry King gets his suspenders, because I might start wearing them when on days we podcast.
Dirty old man store.
I am going to start wearing suspenders.
Hold on, your husband wears suspenders. Okay. Now, additionally, this Mr. Hines wrote a book about his experience before and after his
suicide. Yeah, but your husband, he's not like Larry King. It's best when they don't fit that they're too big, so your pants are like up around your underarms.
You know, that'd be when the suspenders are too small.
They
give you the big moose knuckle they showed on the page the other day.
Yeah,
yeah, I think I'm gonna get me some rainbow ones in honor of Robin Williams.
You should. Who was also from San Francisco?
You know, I think I'll get some purple ones for Prince.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Yeah, I will wear purple suspenders from now on.
Yeah, okay.
If I can ever find a pair.
You should get a tattoo for Prince.
I will find you some.
I'll
get the artist thing.
Yeah,
Helen Mirren, who I love more than anything. She's so friggin' awesome. She wore a purple dress in honor of Prince.
I saw that.
Little tattoo right there on her chest. It was a henna tattoo.
Yeah.
Okay. Still, she's awesome.
Well, and did you hear what the president said?
Dude, first of all, he mic dropped. Which is awesome.
Did you hear what he said about her?
Uh-uh.
He started to do, and he said, "And Helen Mirren's here." I'm not. There's. I got no jokes about her. I'm just gonna say she's. I'm just throwing out her name because she's awesome.
Yeah, she is. She is fucking awesome.
She is awesome. Timmy, now she's an old lady, but I do.
Of course, she's
I
not American.
I understand. You hear that? I understand, Colonel. Back to the story.
That's the drum I will bang telling me.
It's almost time for Timmy to go home.
Yeah. Back to the story.
Okay, Timmy. Okay, we're gonna get you out of here shortly, Tim.
Thank you.
Okay, so we got Hines.
Mm-hmm.
Where were we at? Okay.
He became an advocate.
He wrote a book, Cracked to Fuck, but Not Broken.
Cracked, but Not Broken.
Okay. Cracked to Fuck, but Not Broken.
It would have been better if it said Cracked to Fuck.
Kind of, I agree.
And he became a mental health advocate. Now, see, if I want a mental health advocate, I guess I do want somebody who jumped, because he's going to be the one guy saying, oh, motherfucker, don't do it.
Right.
I'm going to tell you right now.
He can testify.
You know, it's like a born-again Christian, really.
Yeah.
I mean, they're the most fervent people, because they seen the sin. They seen the ugliness in the world, and they know.
I've seen ugliness in this room.
That's kind of
hurtful. What the hell? That's hurtful.
I'm sorry.
No, you're not.
You know, ever since myself. I'm going to tell you something, Timmy. Ever since you got your little group of Team Timmy Angels, and teamed up with Allie and Charlie,
mm-hmm.
you become kind of a pompous prick.
Yeah.
Would you say, Devil?
I would agree with that assessment.
I mean, I thought, and there was a long time that I thought that the Devil was maybe the worst person in the world.
Oh, she still is.
No, I think you are.
Thank you.
Nah.
You're the second worst Devil.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
You're like not hurts. The worst. But I'm not the worst, am I?
Not the
you're
worst.
Like Hertz.
So,
or
anyway.
Your Avis. Which one's number one? Avis or Hertz?
Your anus.
Your anus.
Who's one?
Your anus is number two, Timmy.
Who is it? Avis or Hertz is number one? Someone's number two, but they try harder. I don't know.
I don't know.
All right.
Well, in addition to real suicide, some folks have tried to fake their own death at the bridge.
Pseudo suicide.
All right. Pseudo suicide.
Nope. No singing.
Nope.
No singing.
Oh, my bad.
Nope.
No singing, especially Phil Collins songs.
Okay. So anyway, in 1948, a jeweler, Chris Christensen, he'd been elected to San Francisco Board of Supervisors. He was unable to cope with the pressures of public office. So he went down there and act like he was jumping.
Mm-hmm.
And then somebody ran into him in a bar, and it didn't.
Yeah, he moved. It didn't really work. Relocated to Texas or something.
Yeah, he became a Bible salesman.
Dude, I'm telling you, that always works.
Good word. And down in Houston, mm-hmm. 40 pounds lighter, and living in a shabby rooming house. And I'll tell you what. Right, I'll tell you to this day, the colonel going to testify right here. He turned his life around. He went from a seedy politician, and he was selling the word of the Lord, Timmy.
Very good.
Dude, that's how it always works. Up in heaven. You cannot go
anywhere. So there's been a lot, but
the point
is there have been cases where people would leave their wallet or ID or something on the bridge to make people think that they jumped, and when really they just walked away.
He said the campaign contributors had asked him to do things he could not do. And then they said, here, show us on the doll, Mr. Bible Salesman, where the campaign contributors touched
you. Well, you know, Scott has mentioned it. During your campaign, you've asked him things that you didn't feel comfortable with.
So, now, how do we fix this problem, you might ask?
How do we fix the problem of the Golden Gate Bridge and the suicides, Colonel?
Well, there's been a hot debate going on now.
Okay.
Now, in 1948... W. Keene Jackson, a Glendale merchandising broker, proposed installing charged wire similar to...
So they got electrocuted.
...electric pasture fence. His idea was rejected when they decided it would be a hazard to workmen.
Yeah, well,
so
why electrocute them on the way down?
But they have come up with some novel ideas. The district president thought there should be a law against suicide.
That'll do it.
And I'm just going to say this. When you outlaw suicide,
mm-hmm.
only people who commit suicide will be outlaws.
Yeah. You're right, Colonel.
Yeah.
That's
so
amazing.
Anyway, his legislation was dropped.
The nice thing about having him on the podcast is his insight. You always learn something.
Well,
clearly.
Outlaw suicide and suicide becomes out. Suicide people become outlaw.
Only become
suicide
only outlaws
people.
Will have suicide.
Suicide people, yeah. Suicide jumpers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now, another guy
I always thought when I was a kid that if you commit suicide, because I knew it was against the law, that they would drag your body and throw you in a cell.
You know what
I thought you turned into a vampire.
You know what I find fascinating is he's the one that's been pissing and moaning that he needs to get out of here, and yet.
No, I don't want to rush you. I just want to get to the story. I'm concerned about our listeners' time. I want them to be fully enjoy this story, but at the same time, I'm cognizant to the fact that they have busy lives.
You are cognizant of that fact? Yeah. Because that cock garage has been running.
Please continue, Colonel.
Hold on. Give me one, that devil. There we go. Anyway.
I just want to remind you, Brandy, he's the one that stole your Pop-Tarts. But
I did not steal the Pop-Tarts. Now, Brandy
knows.
Did you
fucking steal my Pop-Tarts?
You know I wouldn't steal the Pop-Tarts.
I don't know that you wouldn't steal my Pop-Tarts.
No, because I would only steal the Pop-Tarts if I could get some satisfaction out of you knowing I stole the Pop-Tarts.
Did some shit to my desk. That's what you did. Almost got
I did that for a
Jorge long time. Fired.
That was pretty good. But anyway, here's some other things they came up with.
Mm-hmm.
One director proposed putting up signs that said, "Think before you leap."
There you go.
Yeah.
Now, what they should have done was put up a sign that said, "This is what's going to happen to you."
And that might,
It's going to hurt like a motherfucker. Mm-hmm. You're going to hit like a wet bag of concrete. Mm-hmm. You're going to get eaten by sharks.
And fishes.
A barracuda going to be up your ass. So is this what you really want?
Yeah. Goo.
That's right. Now go down to Bill's Gun and Knife Show or some shit, because it's easier than doing this.
Mm-hmm.
And then by that time they think, well, maybe life ain't so bad.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you get people that are suicidal, if you worked with them,
mm-hmm.
It is an impulsive thing often. Sometimes it's a rational decision. I mean, sometimes
I'm feeling a certain impulse right now, actually.
So anyway, in a more serious vein,
yes.
Mental health professionals have unsuccessfully tried to get officials to replace the bridge's waist-high railings with higher barriers. Fuck, you could just fall over that side.
That's what I mean. It's really low. If you've ever walked across it, it's really low.
But they don't want to ruin the bridge's appearance.
Well, why save somebody's life if it looks ugly?
Well, I mean,
Yeah, and now they studied... Now, mental health professionals, they said, we do all this stuff. It's just going to send them to another bridge. But mental health professionals just adamantly disagree. Studying would-be suicides who have been restrained
mm-hmm.
found that over a 20-year period, fewer than 4% went on to commit suicide.
Yeah.
So. By virtue of the Oakland Bridge is just a few miles away from the Golden Gate Bridge, but experiences very few jumpers. Of course, Oakland, who wants to go into Oakland? I wouldn't even want to go into Oakland.
You may jump before you go into Oakland.
Yeah.
You know, to keep from going.
If you have to go to Oakland, you might jump.
Yeah.
Now, various methods have been tried to reduce this. The bridge is fitted with suicide hotline telephones, but then you get people like Tim and people like... And plus, you know, the fog comes in, reception's bad, and it's all like...
Sounds like Verizon.
Yeah, it does.
Service.
It's like, can you hear me now?
Yeah, but you're right. It gets all corroded and stuff.
The bridge is now closed to pedestrians at night, but you can jump before twilight. Cyclists are permitted to cross at night, but can after you watch those three son bitches.
Oh my god!
But they can buzz themselves. Cyclists are permitted to cross at night, but can buzz themselves in and out through the remotely controlled security gates.
So, which never made no sense to me. Like I said, if you want to do it and you want it at night, just bring a bike.
Attempts to introduce a suicide barrier have been thwarted by engineering difficulties, high costs, and public opposition. One recurring proposal has been to build a barrier or replace or augment the low railing, a component of one of the bridge's original architectural designs, as amended by the second design in the final blueprint. New barriers have eliminated suicides at other landmarks around the world, but were opposed for the Golden Gate Bridge for reasons of cost, aesthetics, safety, as the load from a poorly designed barrier would significantly affect the bridge's structural integrity during a windstorm. Because that sumbitch shakes in the wind.
Oh, yeah.
It shakes all the time anyway.
That's a bridge, right.
On June 27, 2004, year of our Lord,
California approved a funding plan to install a suicide barrier beneath the bridge to catch suicide jumpers.
And what year are
like
we in now?
Like a trapeze net.
And what year are we in now?
2016.
Is it there?
No. I do not know. But these are tuna-safe nets.
Yeah.
No nets will get caught up in these tuna, in these things.
No nets are going to get caught up in that tuna.
Or no tunas will get caught up in these nets.
So if you throw a tuna off.
And now I want you to think about this. Is these dolphin... I got my can of tuna the other day, all right?
Uh-huh.
And it says...
It's dolphin-friendly.
Dolphin-friendly nets used. And I'm thinking, huh. So, fuck the tuna.
Mm-hmm. Well,
but the dolphins
are
okay.
You're going to eat the tuna.
You ever had dolphin?
I have never had dolphin.
Dolphin quite tasty.
Have you had dolphin?
It tastes alike. I mean,
have you had dolphin?
Have you had dolphin pie?
I've had dolphin steak.
Have you had dolphin pie?
Dolphin steak,
though. Dude, the wieners on a dolphin are like that big. They're ginormous.
Oh, yeah.
I saw my
people have sex with dolphins.
A dolphin tries to have sex with them like all the time. Dolphins are horny.
There is a guy who he filmed himself being intimate with a dolphin. Yeah.
Was he using the blowhole or
no? Yeah, yeah.
I saw a...
And it's like... why would you do...
I saw horses doing it the other day, and I had never seen that particular thing before.
Okay.
And that was about...
You mean you've never seen horses, or you never seen...
No, I'd never seen like a horse...
the act itself.
No, I'd never seen horse junk.
Oh, okay.
Was
he hung like a horse?
My God! I've never seen anything like that. It was horrible.
We was at the zoo one time, and the zebra came over to Renee.
It was horrible.
Right at the fence, and all of a sudden, he unsheathed.
Mm-hmm. It's horribly scary.
Ebony black. It's as black as that soup, that bag right there.
No, readers cannot see that.
It's as black
it's
as
black.
Night. I was expecting it to be pink. I have some white and black stripes. I don't know.
Stripes.
And here's a thought for you, listeners. Just
so wait a minute. Just so we're no, please clarify. The zebra cock does not have stripes.
Zebra pecker does not have stripes on it. It's solid black.
Okay, continue.
And here's the thing. You notice, Timmy, you never ever see somebody riding a zebra.
They're mean.
The horses, but they never. You know why?
They're mean.
They have stripes.
Horses will bite you.
Mm-hmm.
Zebras will not let go.
Ah.
Yeah.
Right.
Zebras bite down, don't let go.
That's a public service announcement from the Colonel.
Don't stick your hand out in front of a zebra.
Don't try to ride a zebra.
Anyway, so now we're back to how do we stop this? So yes. They come up with this thing. California, mm-hmm. It calls for the plan was a $66 million stainless steel net system 20 feet below the sidewalk, which is going to hurt like a son of a bitch.
You jump
20 feet.
You're still going to fall. You're going to fall 20 feet.
But yeah.
You're not going to fall in the...
Well, how are they going to get you out of that net?
I don't know.
It appears that it's stainless steel, so you're not really... You're just going to bounce. It's like a... Kind of like a trampoline.
But you're not going to bounce back up onto the bridge.
No, you're going to roll to the bottom and you're going to be all fucked up and cut up.
Well, I mean, it's not going to be a pleasant experience.
And then you get the ambulance of shame drive to the hospital.
I hate the ambulance of shame drive.
Now, although faces would still, jumpers would still face some injuries from the fall, it will not be the near certain death.
Will they be penalized?
They will be penalized. I believe you would have to go down and clean up the mess. Construction won't be complete until 2018. Now, in addition to this...
Wouldn't it be fucked up if people started jumping into the net and killing themselves?
Well, wouldn't it be fucked up if people started taking bolt cutters with them?
Yeah, it would be fucked up.
Cut a hole in the net and then just...
So you jump down, have to land, and get up, and
compose yourself. You're fucked up, you're scraped up.
Compose yourself, and then jump from there.
Oh, God damn it, I left a bolt cutter.
So when is that supposed to be
It's supposed to be in place by 2018.
All right.
I call bullshit.
Now, in addition to this, the Golden Gate Bridge Patrol, law enforcement, emergency medical personnel, there are Golden Gate Bridge iron workers who volunteer their time to prevent suicide by talking to or wrestling down suicidal people.
Yeah,
because I'm thinking iron workers are
big dudes.
They're sensitive.
They are. Can you imagine an iron worker like I've been there, Gary. I know what you're feeling like. Yeah.
Get off the bridge, you son of a bitch. Yeah. I got shit to do.
Hey, God, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, but they volunteer. They volunteer their time.
They do it. Mm-hmm. One of the workers, Ken Hopper, who began working in the 1980s, sees the volunteer rescue duty as part of his job.
Duty.
They are called the Cowboys of the Sky, Timmy. Cowboys mm-hmm. of the Sky.
Mm-hmm. You said duty.
They have equipment mm-hmm. and knowledge of the bridge, as well as the experience working at extreme heights, giving them the qualifications to go over the rail and assist those in need. Now, while the experience of the volunteers minimizes the dangers of falling, there are still risks encounters. Ironworkers have been had knives pulled on them, seen loaded guns. Now, what the fuck you carrying a loaded? You dumb son of a bitch! You got a loaded gun and you're going to jump off the bridge?
If you got people who are mentally imbalanced, though, you're risking. You know,
give the gun to somebody else.
You're taking a risk. You try to stop them because, like I said, they could pull you over. Or, you know, whatever.
But you got a loaded gun. You got to drive all the way to the bridge.
Well,
you that bad of a shot? Shit. And some of those damn iron workers got bitten by people on there that they tried to stop.
I'd be pissed off then.
And when a police psychologist is on the scene,
I'd fuck you. Go. Bite me, bastard.
They'll coach you. Yeah, I'd throw that motherfucker right into the bay.
You
biting motherfucker. Because they ain't nothing worse than a biter.
No,
worse than a fucking biter. You can pull my hair, you can poke me in the eye, but you motherfucker, you bite me.
I don't like that.
You know what's worse than a biter is a podcast that's been going on too long.
You know.
Join Pat.
So anyway, listeners, mm-hmm. I'm down to one sentence. He's still bitching. It's 20 till 4.
Say it. Say your sentence so we can do this.
No, I ain't saying it because I got a story.
All right.
No,
come on. We got to roll.
We do not actually have to do anything. I got to be here for 2 more hours.
All right, Colonel. What's your final thoughts on the suicide bridge?
He's just glossing over that whole thing.
The Golden Gate Bridge. And
well, I believe you're just rushing this, and I believe it impacts the intent. Now, when you was on the phone with Ali and Charlie the other night, did you rush them, Timmy? Did you rush them?
We did not do a podcast. We just talked.
Okay.
Let's roll.
So,
Brandy, your thoughts.
The National Suicide Prevention Lifeline, 800-273-8255.
Say it slow in your sexy voice. What is the suicide hotline phone number, Brandy, that people should call should they feel the impulse to jump off the Golden Gate Bridge?
That phone number is 1-800-273-8255.
Oh, one more time.
No.
Oh, shit. Would have been there, Colonel. I would have been there one more time.
See, I don't have no erectile dysfunction. The devil got movement down there. It's,
ew.
It's a 3/4 mass. Timmy, read it one more time for me.
Take
devil,
a picture
of it.
Post it on the page.
Give me some, girl. Come on.
I will not.
Okay, Brandy, your final thoughts on the Golden Gate Bridge and jumpers.
It's just sad. It's really sad. And some of these people are so very selfish, taking their kids with them, and it's awful. This is a horrible topic.
I'm sorry. Colonel, your final thoughts on the Golden Gate Bridge and jumpers?
I just have thoughts on suicide, and I do not believe that people understand. If people understood the lasting effects that it had on those around them, it would be a choice they never made. But I believe that many times people feel that the world and the people that love them and that they love will be better off if they killed themselves and weren't there. And that's a terrible way to think. And again, we joked about it. But
and if they feel that way, who should they call, Brandy?
The National Suicide Prevention Helpline.
Thank you.
Yes, and maybe they will get some help. And if you're gonna do it, for fuck's sake, don't jump off a bridge. That shit gonna hurt.
Yeah. Or they can call the colonel.
You can call the colonel. You can call me up right now. You can call me anytime.
Facebook.
No,
Facebook
don't call Tim because Tim crushes dreams.
Yeah,
no,
Tim, you
I
are
would
Tim
never
crushes.
Do that.
And
I'm,
you know
we're
what?
All, I'm, yeah, I would talk
like,
to anyone.
You know what, George? I like to talk to you about this, but I got to wrap this call up.
Yeah.
I got to wrap it up. I ain't got time. I need to get home. I get off.
Yeah, that's a sad story. Let's go.
Yeah, that's a sad story. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah, your wife banging, your accountant, they took all your money. Your kids don't like you. One of them ain't even yours. Your dog got the cancer. And your mama got the consumption.
You got bloody stool.
Let's wrap this up. Yeah, well, let's just wrap this up. Ain't had an erection.
Okay. So,
are you asking him for final thoughts?
Final thoughts, Brandy.
I already gave my final
thoughts. Okay, then where can people find us?
They can find us on Facebook.
Uh-huh. They can find us two places on Facebook, actually.
They can find, you can join the History Dweebs, the podcast, which is our little closed group.
And we have a lot of fun there.
We have
merriment.
We do have much merriment and shenanigans.
Mm-hmm.
You can find us at the regular History Dweebs page. Mm-hmm. We're on the iTunes.
The iTunes.
We're on the Twitter.
At History Dweebs 1.
We are not yet on the YouTube, but
because
hopefully someday.
The Colonel is responsible in charge of that.
Yeah, you know, ain't nobody wants no kind of YouTube channel that just got video. Ain't got
and
no video.
Stitcher.
And we're everywhere.
Yeah,
we're all over. God's Green Acres.
I know, right?
Yeah. So, it's Colonel, crazy. Tell your final thought, Colonel, before
just one final thought.
My final thought is that, you know, how I feel about suicide. It's a horrible thing.
And, but sometimes people get to the point where they feel they need to take a drastic step, but instead of doing that, you should reach out for help. Right, Randy?
I've seen people that have made very, what they thought to be very rational decisions, because they thought it was best for everybody involved, to take their own life, and they did not know that it was not the best thing involved. It was the best decision.
It's very profound.
Yeah.
Right. It has impact on everyone that you know, people you don't know, so don't do it. Listen to our podcast.
Just say no.
Because if you commit suicide, you will not hear our next podcast, which will probably be some cool serial killer. You miss out on that.
Yes, you would.
Okay. Thank you all for joining us, and we'll see you next time on History Dweebs.
Bye.
Good day.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.